This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, thank you that you are good, like we sang just now, and that there's nothing good in us except you. So, Father, tonight I just come and pray that you work in our hearts, and Father, that it's the only message is the message about you, Father. So thank you that I can just be obedient to what you called me and what you told me to preach about. So thank you for that, and thank you for your love. Amen. Okay, so you already can see that I'm preaching about becoming missional. So initially when I thought about, okay, I'm going to becoming missional, what can I do? What am I going to bring to the table? Immediately I went like, okay, becoming missional. Well, we all think if you go, okay, becoming missional, you're going to think immediately, well, let's go out, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? The Great Commission. You all agree with me. That's one part of it. But becoming missional is not what you do. Rather, it's who you are. Okay? So I think that there's a principle that I would like to teach you, and I want you to remember this at the end of the sermon, okay? It's called the iPad principle, okay? So the iPad principle works as follows. Can you please show it up, bring it up? Okay, so there's two perspectives on this. One, the world, and the second one, Christian. So let's say, for instance, in the world, you say you want to become a professional rugby player, right? Okay, so your destiny or your dream is the fact that you want to become a professional rugby player. But once you get there, that's when you're like, okay, whoa, I'm a professional rugby player. That's my identity. That's who I am. So the world sees that as, that's my dream. That's what I want to become. So if I want to become that, the following action is going to be, okay, so I need to start training, running, going to rugby practice, joining a local rugby team, or even if you're still in school, going to a rugby or joining the school's rugby. So that would be your following action. After that, you have purpose to get up in the morning. When I was 18, I used to get up like, okay, now I do it out of free will. That time I didn't so much. I get up at 4:30 to go to the gym at 5 so that I can be a good black rugby player for the school. So that was my purpose, getting up at 4:30 in the morning. So if you go through all that, you've got your destiny, you've got actions, you've got purpose. And then when you're lucky enough, when you go through all of that and you'll finally get to the point where you're a professional rugby player, that's the first time you'll be like, yes, I found my identity. Isn't that true? Excellent. Okay, so we know that we live in an upside down kingdom. So that's when we saw that it's D-A-P-I, it's the world. Whereas Christians, we see it as an iPad principle. If you get your identity, which is identity in Christ, then you can start performing actions, or you have purpose, and the purpose is in Matthew 6, quite clearly, that in the Lord's Prayer, he says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So let his kingdom come with the fact that that's your purpose. You want to see the kingdom come on earth. And if that's your purpose, your following action would naturally come to the fact of the Great Commission. Go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Easy. And after that, you'll go and you'll have purpose, because the purpose at the end of the day is to one day be restored in complete relationship with God. Excellent. Amen. Come on. Okay, so what I want, like I said in the beginning, it's not what you do, it's who you are. So I want you guys to focus on the fact that I am going to preach about identity. If you don't know who you are, you can't do what God wants you. Because there's a lot of perspectives, a lot of lenses, and stuff that we do miss. The reason why I'm preaching this is I recently went to a camp in March, men's camp. I thought I was a leader there. The guy who invited me told me, oh, you're going to be a leader. And when I arrived, I wasn't the leader at all. I was one of the guys attending the camp. I'm like, okay, that's awkward. What am I going to do now? And as I was attending the camp, he starts speaking about identity. And I'm like, I've never heard this point of view of identity. I've never seen someone take it from point A to point Z, and that, and then I'm like, whoa, that was so good. How did I never hear that anywhere? I've never heard it, and yeah, I wish that if I teach this tonight that you have something new. Okay, so the first point that I want to get to is how God created us. Genesis 1:26. Okay, see the okay, it's fine there. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Okay, so what I really want to focus on there is the fact that God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." It doesn't say, "Let me make men in my image." He uses the plural form. So there's something that God actually wants to tell us in that God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. And if he created us in the sense of he is three in one, then we are three in one, right? Amen. Come on. Okay, so if we are three in one, we're going to go flesh, soul, and spirit. Easy? Okay. So the fact that I want to get to offer this is, why did God create us? Okay, John 17, verse 3, the following verse. "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent." Okay, so out of that verse that I want to see, that this is eternal life, that they know you. Know you as relationship. So since the beginning of time, we've seen that God intended for us to be in relationship with him. Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden, next to God. And we can see quite clearly that something has went wrong in the process. Okay? God's not walking alongside us anymore. We are walking alone and he's in heaven. So what's the process that happened there? Okay. So the point that I want to get to is that God gave the commandment to Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of good and evil, right? Knowledge of good and evil. So if that's a command, and spoilers alert, we all know they did, okay? So they disobeyed God's will. So what is sin then? Sin is missing the point or not doing God's will, right? So basically we say when that happened, sin entered the world for the first time ever. And man became aware of the fact that there's good and evil. So basically sin. Okay. So we don't actually see after that, also in Genesis 2:17, God comes and he says that if you eat from the tree, you shall surely die. Right? Genesis 2:17. So what death did God talk about there? Because we don't see that after they were basically kicked out of the Garden of Eden, that they died, right? They were just like, okay, we're still going to go on with our lives. So the fact that I want to get to is in John 4:24. Okay? John 4:24 said, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." Okay, so if we say God is spirit, where do we think does our identity come from? Just ponder about that for a moment. Go to Genesis 2 verse 7, please. "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So if you are at this stage wondering where your identity is, or trying to search it, whether it's in alcohol or, well, anything, relationships, or whatever it may be for you, then this is the answer. And I believe that this will really help you. That if you're struggling with identity, go back to the guy who created it. Go back to God who created you, and you'll start knowing what your identity is. Okay. So Just to land that point, God is our Father, okay? And fathers to give You get your identity from your dad. Quite honest, quite clearly, it's like who I am if I see my dad. For instance, I'm actually privileged enough to teach at a grade 10, at grade 10 or high school students. And the one day I was also teaching, but I was teaching from Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. And as I was teaching there, I ended off with an example, like, if you think about the police, okay, what should they do? They should protect you, they should guard your house, they should protect you from any crime or whatever, okay? And how are they going to do that? By having firearms on them, by rushing when there's a problem or whatever. Now, you can put your trust in the police when you know what they do and who they are. And that's the same thing with God. If you know who he is and what he does, you can much more easily give your control over to him, right? You can start surrendering. Okay, so we quite clearly see now that from the progression that God made us, okay, and there was a separation. The separation was sin. And God said that you shall surely die, meaning that it's a spiritual death, because God and humans weren't one anymore. They weren't there with one another. The relationship wasn't there. So it was spiritually. Okay. So if we are spiritually dead now, or were spiritually dead, depends on where you are at that life now, what happened? How can you get back to the fact of, well, being spiritually alive again? So we have a redemption plan in John 3, verse 16 to 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Okay. So there's two significant things that happens when we give our life to Jesus. Okay. Number one is 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. You can actually see that I got that off Google, because there's still like a little comment A. So, nice. I did that last night. So, we also tend sometimes to find our identity in the stuff that we do or think. Like, let's say, for instance, well, I studied to be an accountant. And my entire first year, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to become an accountant. And only once I get there, I'll be happy and I'll be okay with myself. Okay, so everything that I did was towards that point. And I thought that if I do that and I'll become an accountant, that's the day when I'll be like, yes, that's my identity. And sometimes there comes a thought into your head, and every single one of us is guiltier. Or not guilty, but it happens to you, is the fact that there comes a thought in your head and you're like, whoa, that's me. That's who I am. And a newsflash is that not every thought that comes into your head is yours. That's why there's an enemy. The enemy came, like Pierre said in the beginning, I think he said it in pre-prayer, he said in John 10:10, that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we may have life and life in abundance. Okay, so what you do and what you think is not who you are. Okay, so we see that quite clear in Romans 7, verse 14 to 17. And it says the following, I'll wait for it. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law is good. As it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. So, you're still three in one. And your flesh is sold on the sin. So, sometimes there'll come attacks from the enemy and you'll just like, oh, okay, that wasn't me. And you should discern, okay, that's not who I am. Because Christ said something else about me. Okay. And that's why we're actually really blessed enough that in Hebrews 4, if I remember correctly, we say that The word is like a sword, a double-edged sword, cutting between spirit and soul. So if spirit is God and soul is what I think, then the word comes in between that, and you can start discerning by knowing the word and knowing what God says about you in the word, what is true, and if the lie or the truth, whatever came up in your head, is what God says about you. Okay. So, I recently, this is last week or in this week, I think it was in this week. Who of you guys, and the Poch team is going to laugh now, I promise. Who of you guys know what CrossFit is? See what I mean? Okay, excellent. So, that when, whenever I make this, like, I make this joke that, how do you know someone is a CrossFitter? They tell you. Okay. It's kind of like the same thing when you meet somebody from Paul Ruiz, am I correct? Paul Ruiz or Paul Gym, they just tell you, well, I'm from Paul Gym, or Gray, it was Gray, the Bloom Gray guys. So what I want to get to is, I was training this week, I get up like 4:30 in the morning, head out to the gym, and as I'm busy training, it was a really rough workout. I'm like lying there on the ground, like, I can't move my hands or my feet or anything, I'm just going to lie here. And I step into my nothing box, like completely, I don't care about anything or anyone around me. And I'm like, I'm just going to enjoy this. And Romans 12 verse 2 comes to mind. And it's that, be transformed by the renewal of your mind daily. Yeah, do not conform to the standards of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I'm lying there, and I think it's Louis Giglio or someone, but they referred to the fact that it takes 21 days, or Bill Johnson, either way, great teachers, both of them. It takes 21 days to create a habit. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so easy. I'm just going to suffer for 21 days, and then it's okay. Then I'll be fine. And as I was lying there, I started thinking about what we think. The same thing works in your thoughts. It takes 21 days to change your thought pattern. Depends on if it's good or bad. So then I was lying there, okay, so if I go 21 days and I can change it, within that 21 days, I can go either bad or good. I can decide which one am I going to use. So, and as I lied there, I'm like, how am I going to discern what's good and what's bad within that? So how am I going to know, okay, this is a good thought. I'm going to stick to this, and I'm going to just keep on telling myself this for 21 days, or this is a bad thought, so I'm going to go in 21 days that way. How am I going to know that which one's good, which one's bad? And that's where Hebrews 4 just came in. Like, the word is like a double-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. Only the word is the truth. What God says about you, that is the truth. Okay, so the next thing that I want to get to is John 1, verse 12 to 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Okay, we also see in John 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus and basically asks, how does the kingdom work? And Jesus says, well, you cannot see the kingdom unless you're born of water and of spirit. So I'm going to keep on hammering. If you guys haven't picked it up yet, you're going to pick it up now. I've been hammering on the fact that we are spiritual beings. We may see the flesh, and we may think what we do is right, or what we think is right, but that's not necessarily the truth. The truth is what God says, and we need to be like Romans 12 verse 2, keep on being in the renewal of mind daily. Okay. And this is the next story. I love telling stories, so you guys are going to really have a lot of stories tonight about me. So, I'm a rugby referee, not the best job in the world. You always get screamed at, or somebody just runs at you, or you're caught in the way in the first channel, and somebody just, I've had some hard hits yet. So, one morning, I think it was last year, I was a full-time intern at church last year, and Saturdays are usually my days that I like chill, and if I have like a match, it'll be like 11 or 1 late afternoon matches. I'm like, that day was 11 o'clock. And I got a phone call about 7:30 saying, well, the matches is at 9. And completely frustrated, in a rush, everything going wrong, terribly way wrong. It really sounds to you guys like I'm always late by all the stories that I do. I'm actually quite punctual, I promise. So as I was leaving, it was about 8 o'clock, and really frustrated and drove out of my yard. It's about 40 to 50 k's that I still need to drive. And I'm like, Lord, please just take this away. I'm so frustrated. I'm over this. Like, please just take it away. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. But wait. I'm like, here comes the catch. But there's not always a catch. It was just for me. It was necessary. And God asked me, what are you building your identity on for the last, well, let's say 18 years? And I was like, I have no idea. You're asking this question. Like, I don't know where you're going with this. And he brought a revelation to my mind that I'm quite good in athletics, rugby, anything with a ball. Like, I was first team rugby, first team cricket. No, I didn't play cricket. No, not cricket. Not at all. I don't like it at all. My friends used to bounce me. I don't know if you know, guys, what a bouncer is, but it's always aiming in your head. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to get out. But anything with a ball except cricket, I could play. And was probably first team as well. And God showed me that I was building my identity on the fact that I'm good in sports. Like, I can kick a ball far or whatever it may be. And I'm like, okay, thanks for pointing it out, Lord. I appreciate it. And he's like, okay, but I want to take that away. I'm like, okay, how are you going to do that? He says, are you willing to give it to me? And I'm like, yeah, take it. you're working with me, so I'm just going to, you take it, go. And let's say, for instance, I was standing on this podium, and this was all my sports. It literally felt as if God was like, bam, and I was hanging there in midair, like, what do you call it? Right? No, levitating, I think, is the correct word. I have no idea. I was like, okay, but who am I in that sense? And I was driving towards home, actually, and he told me that about 20 k's from home, he's like, well, you are my son. But I literally heard it audibly. You are my son. I'm like, whoa, that's cool. Okay. And I went on. And about 10 k's, let's say 10 to 15 k's from home, I'm like, okay. But God, being your son isn't enough for me. And I was really at that stage where, well, I don't know what it means. And another 5 k's went down, and I was like 7, 8 k's from my home. And God came in and was like, you don't know what it means to be my son because you don't know who I am. And that hit me really hard. I was like, okay, you won. So that was really amazing for me. So I got to that point in my life last year. And this year, and this is the second part of what I want to get to you, is that I'm a son now. I get it. But what now? What's next? Okay. So I want to go to the first thing of the lenses, in the lenses to see yourself and others. Okay. So number one is sonship. Okay, so I recently learned this, and I was like, whoa, this is really good. Okay, so sonship is you have inherited something. Like, when you think about the parable of the son who came back, excuse me, prodigal son. I'm an Afrikaans guy, so I'll probably go way worse. So, the parable of the prodigal son, I'm sorry, I'm Afrikaans. The thing is, as soon as you come back, he hasn't lost his inheritance. He was welcomed with a robe and with a ring, with new clothes as a son, not as a slave. And that's the same thing with us. We get to that point and we're like, well, I inherited something. Okay? So you inherited salvation, righteousness, the Holy Ghost, and the kingdom through sonship, through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Okay? So Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says the following. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I see you guys have Encounter 1 on Tuesday. This is one of the verses they always use. I used to teach, or I'm still teaching, Encounter 1 at Poch. And the one question that will come is, can you earn your salvation? Okay, this is quite clearly, no, you can't. Okay, so what I want to get at, have you ever seen those guys riding around and they're like 18 or 19 years old? Where I'm in that age gap now, I'm 23, so I'm still really young. I'm in that age gap, and if you see an 18-year-old guy, especially if you're on the book, and he's like first year, and he's coming here with a Hilux Bucky, and he pulls in, you're like, oh man, you're driving that thing as if you own it. You don't. Your dad bought it to you. And that's kind of the same thing that happens with salvation. Is your dad gave it to you, and you're like, well, I'm owning it, and I'm going to boast about it. It's not yours. It's a gift. Okay. Sorry, that's a bit hard, but it's cool. And the thing this is actually quite good. I wrote it down, and I don't even remember I did. The thing that happens here is that we start thinking that we can overcome sin, but that is impossible at all for us. Because if we start battling sin, we start like, well, I am wrong and I'm going to overcome this. Strong's buddy, that's not going to last long. Okay, so the next, just wait two more points. Then you'll get what I'm saying there with, you can't battle it. Okay, so the next one is being a bride. For the guys, being in sonship is like, yeah, I'm a son. That's easy to understand. And when you get called to son in the Bible, you're like, yes, that's me. But as soon as you get called a bride, you're like, I don't want to walk down the aisle. What's this? So the interesting thing is that Jesus has been pursuing you from the day you were born. And God desires you intimately. He wants to be with you. Recently, I was busy fasting. Actually, a weird point. And as I would go into a lunch, I thought about saying Marachet, to be honest. as I was going into lunch, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go lunch, so I'm going to go and pray. And at that stage, I went to God. I'm like, okay, well, God, what are you busy doing? Because there's so much happening in Poch, guys. It is crazy. And I'll tell you about, just wait a bit longer. And I was standing there, and I'm like, God, what are you doing? And he showed me that we are like the bride coming down the aisle to our groom, and he's busy taking off the veil. Because that veil is the persona that we want to bring, like this, I'm holy, I'm good, you know, I'm doing the right deeds, I'm giving money away for charity, I'm giving food to the church, I'm giving my tithe, you know, I'm doing a really good job. But God doesn't care about that. He cares about you because he wants relationship. That was the purpose from the beginning of time. In Genesis, God walked alongside Adam and Eve. So he doesn't care about you bringing money, about you doing good works. I think it's Angus Buchan that says, good people don't go to heaven, believers do. So we can do as much deeds as we want, but it has no influence. Okay, so I had this vision of God taking off this veil, and he's like, I don't care about what you think you are. I care about who you are, because I'm seeing you face to face. I don't care about this veil between me and you. That's done. That's over. So there's a verse, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, and it states that, and we all who with unveiling faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That ties a really tight knot on what I've been telling you guys, that if we are Spirit, and we are being transformed into his image with unveiling faces. He doesn't care what actions you bring to the table. He cares about you. He cares about your feelings. He cares about what's happening within your heart. So what's happening in Boccia is quite an amazing testimony. And this has been rocking us left, right, and center, if I can put it like that. At the beginning of the year, I heard about a prophecy of a Poch that we, maybe it's in the body as well, so I really do hope that it happens here as well, is that we are going to learn what it means to stand naked to one another, across from one another. And what that means doesn't like, okay, well, there walks somebody, he's naked. Ooh, that's awkward. That's not what we're referring to. The fact is that we're referring to being spiritually naked. Like all those stuff that you've been keeping back in your heart for the last 10 to 12 or even maybe more years. There's guys that came, this is what I actually want to get to. We have Shofar College. It's basically for all the students. And while we were busy teaching exactly this, the one girl came and she's like, well, she feels like we're in a room with white larkins. I don't know what you call it, but sheets. Yes, white sheets surrounding us. And God just wants to take it away because that's not, because we're pretending to be something. He wants us to be real. And the guy leading it was like, okay, girls that side, guys this side. And as we started sharing, there was like just breakthrough in everyone. Like guys shared something that happened when they were like 2 years old, 3 years old, and that they've been carrying their entire life and never said to anyone. You know, you get that cry, but it's not like that's that deep cry from within your stomach. Like, we heard that cry from the ladies through the door. We were like, here, and there's the door. And it's like, and I'm like, okay, this is really getting real. And the thing that's really amazing is that we started at 6 o'clock that evening. And the guys, I'm going to put it straight as it is. The guys repented from 8 o'clock to 8:30. And then we're like, okay, we're done. And the girls still went on. And afterwards, okay, the girls ended about 11. Yeah. So the girls can really go on. And as we were there, the amazing thing is that the guys were done. They could leave and go home, but they preferred staying there. They preferred talking to one another. And that's the one thing that I want to get to next. 1 John verse 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So, by the guys sitting there and really being real, for the first time ever, they were walking in the light and they had true fellowship. And that's something that's really scary. I mean, I was one of the guys, like, they asked, it's really difficult to get straight to the point. So when you're like, okay, well, you know, I'm struggling with partying. Actually, it's weird. One of my friends that would have come, Conrad, he always says that we have the progression of confession. And that's exactly what happened. So let's say, for instance, with CrossFit, you go and you just pick up a dumbbell. Like, okay, well, I picked up a dumbbell. Okay, you know what? I was actually bench pressing. So I was actually more into it. And then you like go, okay, no, I actually did CrossFit. So I repent of that. And that's the same thing that happened that night. Is that the guy started, you know what? I go and party sometimes. And okay, I hear you. Okay, there's something more. Okay, yeah, there is something more. I get drunk really regularly. And like, okay, there's something more. And the progression that happened there is not what we want. We want to get to the root of it and we want to get it out, done with. So initially I knew, I was sitting there and I am transparent towards my leadership. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to call it. And I went for my deepest sin. And I threw it on the table. And they're like, it was like this awkwardness in the room. Everybody looked around and like, well, okay, this is much easier now. Let's go on. And the guys just start going for the roots. They didn't care about the what. And it just went on like that. So for the first time ever, we walked in the light. And then we had fellowship with one another. And I really feel like this is what God wants for us tonight. That there's something way deeper within you that you've never told anyone. And you're like, whoa, I don't really want to give this to anyone. But you're not giving it to me. I can't handle that. If you give it to me, I'm probably going to fail and ruin as much as possible. Not because I want to, because I can't handle that. Only God can take that sin away from you. Only God can restore. Okay, and the next one that I want to focus on is that we are the body. This is also something that the Lord has been working with me, is that sometimes when you think we are the body, it's like, okay, well, I'm the body. Maybe I'm a glute, or maybe I'm a quad or something. But sometimes you're the pinky. And that's difficult to accept that you're the pinky, because you're like, well, I'm only going to be good as soon as I'm on the stage. I'm only going to be good as soon as I start preaching. And that's not the truth. Because if this is going to sustain me, I'm going to crash in the next 2 years. Honestly. Preaching is not my purpose. It's one of my callings, but it's not my purpose. My purpose is to have a relationship with the Lord and to know Him. The eternal life is to know Him and His Son Christ. So if I try and keep on pursuing this way, I'm going to end up failing. So I'm not going to go long and dwell on this point. Ask God what your part is. If it's for you and it's necessary that you be at work, just to be loved, just to be seen, just to be heard, be that. Plain and simple as that. But the thing is that everyone has a function or purpose. 1 Corinthians 13, easy. Okay, the next one, I love this one. Okay, number 4, being the servant. If I look out of a perspective of sonship, then I think, me preaching, I deserve it. But me seeing it out of a version or out of a view of I'm a servant, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to bring the word of the Lord to you, because the rest I can't do. Like, each one of you are sitting now like, doesn't matter what I preach. The Holy Spirit is working within you, and He's convicting you of something or a sin or whatever it may be now. And that's not me. I can't do that. I can't bring conviction. Okay. So what I want to get at is that the word Father to God, like God the Father, is used 15 times in the New Testament, in the New Testament. But the word King is used more than 200 times. I think there's a subtle message just by the ratio itself that, yeah, we're His sons, but we're also servants. And it depends on what you want, what you're struggling with. Because sometimes we go like, well, this guy is struggling with, well, his dad wasn't really present, so he's got a daddy issue. So let's just pray for sonship. Just know that you're a son. You inherited this. But there's sometimes a thing that you miss, that you are a servant. Like, let's say, for instance, we're on the Last Supper with Jesus and His disciples. Around the entire table, Jesus asked, will they betray Him? And each and every disciple went, surely not I, Lord. Surely not I, Lord. Up until the place where we get to Judas, and he's like, surely not I, teacher. It's quite profound if you think about it, that Judas referred to Him as being a teacher and not Lord. Because if you go, let's say, for instance, you're in business and you have your own business running. If you keep on referring to Jesus as a teacher, sometimes down the path, you're going to betray Him. Because if He says, well, you got 200,000 in your bank account, give away 150, and trust me in that, then you're going to go, no, well, this doesn't make sense. This is not the principles that I was taught. But then you're not following what He told you, and you're not submitting under His authority as Lord. So there's something that I really want to get at there, is that we should be servants in the kingdom, serving one another. Okay. Next lens, number 5, is friendship. I'm going to get there at a verse, John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one of his friends. So Jesus laid down His life for us at the cross so that we may have eternal life. Simple gospel. And if you're struggling sometimes with the fact that you can't trust Jesus because he's just Jesus of faith, he's actually the historical Jesus. And he is the true Jesus. Maybe there's someone, I just feel that this is something on my heart, that you haven't been trusting the Lord completely in that sin, in that sense, that there isn't like real, he's not real, he's just the Jesus of faith, he's just the story. And I want to really encourage. I want to encourage you to really come to me afterwards. I really want to pray with you because I struggled for that for about 8 to 9 months. Like, I struggled really hard with that. And I just want to listen your story because there's something that's been hurting for quite some time. Okay. So he invites you to be friends because friends bear fruit. If you go read in John 15, he said, I invite you so that you may bear much fruit. So he wants to be your friend. He wants you to bear fruit in the sense of, well, Galatians 5 verse 22, fruits of the Spirit. And there may be as well fruits that you can take with you as well as people like leading them into the kingdom. Because if he sees us as a friend, he wants this joy that we experience with all people. And that makes the go out and make the Great Commission so much easier. Go out and make disciples. If we go out of a place of friendship, like, I really do care for you. And I want to see you as a friend because Jesus sees you as a friend. Then it's much easier because we sometimes go and like, well, you just need the gospel. And sometimes the gospel is the way. It is. But you trust God for the way in. We have campus evangelism pretty much every day. And from 12 to 1, I was walking on campus and I saw one of my friends that I met when I was like 10, 11. I was like, whoa, I haven't seen you in quite some time. And I was walking around with him for half an hour to 40 minutes. And I was trying to get into like, okay, I'm gonna give the gospel to this guy. Where's the way in? How's the way in? And I keep on trying doing it out of my own power. And at once, as we were walking out of shop, I'm like, God, I just give up. You show the way. Because I can't do this anymore. I promise you it was 2 minutes. Then I started preaching the gospel. And it was amazing. We walked until, I think it was the BIP, or close to the BIP. And I'm like, is there something that I can pray for? He's like, yeah, well, I'm a bit stressed about my studies. I'm like, okay, cool, let's sit down and pray. And I literally just started praying a blessing over his studies, and the next moment God gave me a word of knowledge. And he said, well, this guy's struggling with his sleep at night. I'm like, okay, this is cool. I'm like, I experienced that Jesus tells me that, or the Holy Spirit told me, but for him it was Jesus to make it easier. that you're struggling to sleep at night. He's like, yeah, how do you know this? I'm like, well, Jesus told me. Like, no. I'm like, that's real. And that was friendship. Because I never intended to just put the gospel down his throat. I just went out of the place of loving him. There's much more testimonies than I can tell. Otherwise, we're going to stay the entire night. So the next one is we are the branch. Okay. And John 15 verse 4. The following, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Okay. Now, if we are the branch, somewhere down the line, there's a root. And that was exactly the scripture that we got for our mission as we came here. As Psalm 1, verse 2 to 3, which basically, we are like a tree planted next to living waters. And a thing that came to mind was that we are grounded in Christ. And if we spend our time in the Word daily and through communication, we'll bear fruit. That was our vision for this mission. So Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So if you're struggling to know what is your next step, what should I do next, go back to the Word. Or go back to what God told you previously. You missed a step, or you just forgot about it. Because if you're struggling to hear God's voice, you missed a step of obedience. And go back to what God put on your heart to do. Because sometimes it's something simple. Because let's say, for instance, you're giving money out of a place of you want, like, I'm going to be a good person, so I'm going to give 20 rand to this guy. But if you go like, okay, well, I walked past this guy. I feel like he needs 20 rand for something, but I don't know what it is. And I go, well, here's the 20 rand. Go. Or you're Namibia. Here's $20. Go and buy something. There's a difference in that action. Is that God was involved. So the place what I want to focus on is the fact that the word is like a lamp on your feet. Focus on the fact that the word and God will guide you. Not your own intentions. Because if you go on your own intentions, some way or somehow you will fail. Okay. And the last thing that I want to get at, number 7. You are the temple of God. So I feel like I want to stick to this, that there's God is spirit, and if he's your creator, what you do and what you think is not who you are. Who you are is what God says about you, and you find that in the word. That's the 3 points that if you take anything out of this, this is the point, is that what you think and what you do is not who you are, but who God says you are is what's important. And if we say that we are the temple, immediately what came to mind as I was preparing is that if we are the temple, think how huge God is. We can't comprehend how big and mighty he is. Like, heaven is his seat, and earth is his footstool. And then you are his temple. He lives within you. How can something that big live within you? That blows my mind completely. Okay, so I would really like for all of us just to stand and I'll pray for us as we end off. Father, thank you that you are absolutely good and loving, Father, and that you see us as a friend, as a servant, as a son, as a temple for you, Father. Thank you that tonight that you would show each one of us where we are missing it. Whether we are missing the fact that we are a friend, missing the fact that we are a servant, or whatever it may be, God, that you would come and convict us. So guys, there's something really putting on my heart that if you can agree with the fact that Romans 7, that nothing good dwells within you, and you have that wall of what's good and what's bad, and you've never ever had the opportunity to surrender your life to the Lord and said, well, this is who I am. I know there's some people thinking now that, well, I first need to sort all this stuff out, everything, and then I could come to the Lord and I'll be, okay, well, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Holiness is not the path to Christ. Christ is the path to holiness. So I really want to encourage you, if that's you, please just put up your hand. I really want to do pray with you at the end. That was the second thing that I felt, and I shared it as I was preaching, is that if you are here tonight and you feel there's something that's been bugging you for so long, since the age of, well, let's say 2 or 3, like the one guy that I shared about, or there's something just happened and you want to bring it into light and you want to experience what it means to be in true fellowship for the first time ever, I just want you to quickly raise your hand. There's something that I know, there's someone specific here, because there's something in your heart that you just want to share and get it over the with. And that tumbling, turning feeling in your tummy, that's normal, okay? That happens. That's the Holy Spirit at working. Okay, and then the last thing that I experienced as I was preparing is that there's a lot of people, or there's people that acknowledges Jesus as teacher, but not as Lord as their life. I'm really, If I was in the crowd, I would have responded to this. Because that is something that has been happening for me the past, well, 2 to 3 weeks, that God showed me that I've been at the place where I'm not living in surrender. And only once when you surrender, that is when God can come in and do his mighty works. So I'm just going to ask the band to play the last song that you played previously. The last song. I don't remember what the name is. Yeah. And then if that's anything puts in your heart, you can just worship with them. And if only one, any one of those 3 points were you, there's a prayer team, and we would just love to pray with you. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.